Ellie Weber on a Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock sharp on Sefer Mitzvot. In today's shir, what does matzah symbolize?
Excellent. We've done matzah before, and maybe we've done some of these ideas before, but it fits into a category of conversations we've had, which I find interesting, and I also find that they shed light and make Pesach more meaningful. One of the things we talk about often in Sefer HaMitzvot is what constitutes an individual mitzvah and what's not really its own mitzvah. It's part of another mitzvah. So, you know, easy example. We all know that Dalet Minim is not a mitzvah to have a lulav, and a mitzvah to have an esrog, and a mitzvah to have adasim, and a mitzvah to have aravos. There's one mitzvah that has four parts. And not surprisingly, when you look in the Sefer HaMitzvos, you find one mitzvah that has four parts. With respect to, for example, the Beis HaMikdash, we've discussed before major machlokes, Rambam and Ramban. The Rambam says that the Beis HaMikdash is one mitzvah. And included in the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash is an Aron, a Shulchan, a Menorah, a Mizbeach, because that's what it means to have. And for the Ramban, no. The Beis HaMikdash is a place where you go and you commune with God, and technically there should be separate mitzvahs for building the Kelim. Okay, for a different reason the Ramban doesn't count them, but every time we come across a mitzvah, that's a question you ask. Is it important enough to be its own mitzvah, or is it only supplemental or secondary to another mitzvah? A good example. There's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis that have tcheles on them. Okay? Is tcheles its own mitzvah, or is it just something that enhances or is part of the mitzvah of tzitzis? Okay? That's the kind of... No, I need these. Oh, no, I don't need these. Yes, I do. No, you have extra clues. It's your job. If I could come on time, you could. Okay. So now, if I asked you, is matzah a mitzvah? You would say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course. In fact, if I asked you, you know, what's the main... If you could only have one prop at your Seder,
matzah.
It would be matzah.
Sure.
Right? For sure.
It would be
matzah.
You spend more money on matzah doing it.
Yet, watch this bizarre presentation that the Rambam has. The way the Rambam sets up Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, and it's called that on purpose, the first five prakim of Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah deals with chametz. Getting rid of chametz, and it's, you know, what you can have on Pesach, whatever. Then you get to Perek Vav, that's the first time the Rambam talks about matzah. Okay? And it's as if the Rambam thinks that matzah is not that important, and he's going to explain to us why matzah really is important. Something none of us ever thought of, and you'll see why in a second. Says the Rambam, Perek Vav Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, Mitzvas asei min haTorah le'echol matzah b'leil chamisha asar. Okay? Simple as anything, everybody knows this. There is a positive commandment min haTorah to eat matzah on the 15th that night. That would be the Seder. That would be the Seder. This is the teacher's edition. Okay?
That's the answer.
It has a, yeah. I actually have notes on this. As if it's any of your business. Okay. So the Rambam says what we all know. It's a mitzvah saseh to eat matzah at the Seder. And he has a pasuk. Shenemar ba'erev tochlu matzot. On that night, you should eat matzot. Okay? That's the mitzvah. And now, in case you didn't know this, the Rambam starts hinting at something strange. Bechol makom u'bechol zman. He doesn't mean bechol zman any night. He means, you know, bechol makom, what would you... Bechol makom means...
Anywhere.
As opposed to... You might have... Or... Right. It could have been Beis HaMikdash, it could have been Yerushalayim, it could have been Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam had did anybody have a Hava Amina that the mitzvah of matzah wouldn't apply in London? I'm just saying, if the Rambam is bothering to mention this to us, I don't think the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah to make kiddush b'chol makom u'v'chol zman. I don't think the Rambam introduces every mitzvah saseh. So it means there was a reason to think that it might not have been b'chol makom u'v'chol zman. Now he's going to give it away. Now, in addition to that,
because you might think if you don't have a carbon pesach,
now he says v'lo tala achila zo b'karbon ha-pesach. This, the mitzvah of eating matzah is an independent mitzvah. What might you have thought? You might have thought that eating matzah is required for me to be yotzei the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. And no Karban Pesach, no matzah. By the way, you know what that's true with respect to?
We don't have matzah with the Karban Pesach.
What's that?
What? We never had matzah with the Karban Pesach.
Of course we did. Okay, by the way, that's how you know that the matzah didn't look like our matzah. Right? Because you couldn't. Right, I'm saying probably you shouldn't do this. People say it's also. Years ago, we went to watch the Shomronim do their Karban Pesach. It worked out because it was a leap year. They didn't have a leap year, so it wasn't, you know. We went, and when you see it going on there, and you see them, you know, make the lamb sandwich with laffa and relish on top, you go, yeah, you know, they got it right, we got it wrong. You know, no one's excited to eat. You can't even put your, you know, your lamb thing in between two cardboard, whatever, you know, like. Correct. So it's clear that they, you know, when you see it there, you go, yeah, people must have really enjoyed eating Karban Pesach. It's delicious, and it really looks good.
Does that mean the
Huh?
They didn't.
They weren't wearing yarmulkes. They were wearing white. They wear all white. The frum ones looked like they were wearing like kittels. The other ones looked like the ones who aren't really frum. They looked like they were wearing like those jumpsuits if you work like the pit at the Indianapolis 500. Like one you zip up, you know. It looked like they were not into it at all. They were like going off the derech, God forbid. But they came to this event. Okay. So the Rambam says in the first halacha, you might have thought there's no mitzvah of matzah because matzah just exists in a situation where you have a Karban Pesach and the Pesach says, Al matzah zmor miyochlu, which presumably would lead me to believe no Karban Pesach, no matzah, and maybe like Karban Pesach is only in Yerushalayim, matzah is only right. That explains all why the Rambam had to say all those things. By the way, the answer I was looking for was Maror bizman hazeh is drabanan. Why? Because in the Torah, Maror only appears in the context of Karban Pesach. So no Karban Pesach, no Maror. So here the Rambam in the first halacha is basically telling me, don't think that matzah is like maror, and don't think that matzah only exists as you know something that supports the main mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Rather, it exists on its own. Now, part of this, I just want to point out the obvious, although the Rambam never had a Karban Pesach either, I'm quite sure of that. You know, the Rambam thought biblically. You know, we think to our experience, and obviously none of us have ever seen a Karban Pesach, but we know that matzah is the centerpiece of our Seder. So, you know, it's important to readjust ourselves from time to time to realize that that wasn't always the case. It was the case that Karban Pesach was the centerpiece of the Seder, and matzah, you know, kind of existed around it. Okay, so right away the Rambam points that out to us. Now, he says as follows, Aval, third line, Bishar HaRegel, once the Seder ends, Achilas Matzah Zo, Achilas Matzah Rishut. Eating matzah is optional. Ratza ochel matzah. If you're hungry and you want to eat matzah, great, eat matzah. Ratza ochel orez. I wish. O dochan o kloyos o peros. You could eat rice or some other meal or corn things or fruit. Aval belel chamisha sa bilvad chova. But at night, at the Seder, you're absolutely obligated to eat matzah whether you're hungry or not. And if you ate a kizayit matzah, then you were yotzei your chovah. So the Rambam is making another point that we really never would have thought of, which is not only is matzah not just subservient to the Korban Pesach, matzah is completely obligatory, right? You might have thought, well, if I'm hungry, then I have to eat matzah. Says the Rambam, no, it's absolutely, it's like shofar, it's like lulav, it's like sukkah the first night. Right? Generally, we hold with respect to sukkahs, and it's interesting that if you don't want to sit, if you don't have a meal, you don't have to sit in a sukkah. I mean, broadly speaking, you're supposed to sit in a sukkah the whole time. But, you know, if you're in your house and you're not having a meal, you're not being mevatel the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah. Okay? It's not obligatory in that sense. The problem we have, and maybe we'll answer it, maybe we won't, is if I eat my first day of Pesach, what bracha do I make? Wrong. The first day, not the Seder. I make Hamotzi, exactly. There is no Asher Kiddushel Mitzvah of Sivano, because as the Rambam says, the obligation of eating matzah is only at night. If I sit in a sukkah on the first day of sukkahs, what bracha do I make? Correct. Then I do make Asher Kiddushel Mitzvah of Sivano Leishay Basuka. That's kind of an interesting distinction.
Make it all the other days as well.
I know, I could have said anything. I said the fourth day, the fifth day. It's interesting that the obligation to sit in a sukkah is only at night, really. Although I guess at some point you have to, because you have to live someplace.
Yeah,
Shei Shamim Tochal
Matzah.
We could go back and forth.
You have to eat matzah in the sukkah?
Huh? it's quite confusing.
I'm not sure why we're trying to get out of the 7-day rule.
Huh?
I'm not sure why we tried to not...
We didn't try, it just happened. I'll show you, we'll get there. Okay, so all this by way of introduction to point out the obvious, or what should be obvious now, which is matzah really exists in two separate roles. Matzah has to be eaten. Well, Korban Pesach has to be eaten, al matzot u'morim, but matzahs also exist independently. That's what you see from this Rambam. And now let's spend some time looking at Psukim, where this will be...
Let me ask you a question. If matzahs... obligatory first half of Shabbat, but if you want to eat matzah, it's the 7 days. Which is the pasuk just said that.
One pasuk says shivat yamim tochal matzah. So one pasuk will get there.
So if that's the case, you should make a bracha al chilas matzah instead of moshe lechemet aretz if it's a requirement.
Right, but it's not.
It's not.
I'll show you that it's not.
Okay.
Okay. Even though it looks like it should be.
Right, that's okay. Why I'm asking.
Good. So we'll get there. First, let's look at Psukim. Psukim that we all know, they come from Perek Yud Bet. Most of this is from Parshas HaChodesh. We read it last Shabbos. Look at number two. Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Zayin.
Parshas
Bah. Huh?
Parshas Bah.
Yes.
That's true.
Oh, so we're right in between. No, we're not. What do you mean?
No.
I said Parshas HaChodesh because we read it last
week.
Right,
but...
Yes, yes, yes. In Sefer Shmos. Yes. Okay. Says the pasuk describing Korban Pesach, "V'lakichu min hadam, you take from the blood. V'natnu al shitei hamizuzot v'al hamashkof." That was only in Pesach Mitzrayim. You put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel. Excellent. Al habatim asher yachlu otov lahem. Wait, you put it in the homes in which you're going to eat the Korban Pesach. Va'achlu et habasar balayla hazeh. You eat the meat that night. How do you eat it? Tzliyesh. Barbecued, al matz kliyets umatzot al miroyim yochluhu. Barbecued with matzot and maror. So our introduction to matzah. If this was the only pasuk we had, you could make a pretty strong argument that what? What would be the argument that matzah is not an independent mitzvah? The mitzvah is Korban Pesach. How is Korban Pesach eaten? It's eaten barbecued with matzot and maror, right? And that's not a stretch at all. That's really how the pasuk reads. But luckily or not luckily, that's not the only pasuk. That's one. Now you go further along in that same perek, Yud Bet, which is in Parshas Bo. Okay. Source number three. You come to pasuk Yud Zayin. Now we're not talking about Korban Pesach. We just says Torah says as follows. Ushmar temet hamatzot, guard the matzot. Why? Ki be'etzem hayom hazeh hotzeiti et zivoteichem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because on this day I took my hosts out of Egypt. Ushmar temet hayom hazeh ledoroteichem chukat olam. And you should observe this day forever as a mitzvah. Barishon ba'arba'a asayom lachodesh ba'erev tochlu matzot. What night is that? That's actually, it's a really a strange way of saying it.
It's 15th, really. But
right. It says, Barishon, on the first day, Ba'arba'a asar yom lachodesh, Ba'erev, right, Tochlu matzah. The Torah knew how to say the 15th that night, right? This is what, you know, because the point is, the 14th is also kind of a holiday. We've lost that now because, you know,
well, one second.
The 14th now, there's not much to do. But in the old days, the 14th afternoon was a very busy time, right? It was, in fact, in the Torah, Pesach or Chag HaPesach is the 14th, and Chag HaMatzot is the 15th through the 21st.
You say Yalav Yevo on Pesach, you don't say Chag HaPesach, you say Chag HaMatzot.
Correct. Okay, I'll tell you a nice thing. We call it, but if you say, if you know, unless you want to be one of those smarter than you guys, right? You don't say to somebody, you know, Happy Chag HaMatzot.
No, you don't.
Right? You say, you know, Happy Pesach. Everything, Pesach, Kasher, Sameach. I don't know who brought up the first, very beautiful idea, that in the Torah it's called Chag HaMatzot, right? But we call it Chag HaPesach. Why? The Torah calls it Chag HaMatzot because matzos is what we made, right? The Torah told us to. We did this thing in Mitzrayim and then we left. We made matzos. But what's Pesach? Al shum she Pesach Hakadosh Baruch Hu al batei b'nei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim b'nei Akbar b'Mitzrayim b'Batenu Yitzil. We thank God. We call the holiday after the miracle that God did by literally passing over our houses in Makas B'Choros. He calls it by what we did. What we did was make matzos and keep a mitzvah. By the way, we'll come to this idea in a second. Even before we left, one of the things we have to talk about, and one of the themes that comes up, is this bizarre idea that we commemorated the holiday before the event actually occurred.
That's true.
You know, it's completely bizarre on both levels, and we'll come back to this in a minute. Why do we bring Karban Pesach? I just said, Al Shum She Pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Batei B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, that God literally passed over our houses during Makas B'Choros.
That was passed already. I mean, we were celebrating it. If that's the reason why,
how do you know? When did we eat Korban Pesach? Only after Chatzos? Who told you? Right? The way I understand it, we ate Korban Pesach before Chatzos. And we know when Makas Bechoros was, because it says Vayhi Bachatzi Alayla Vashem He Kol Bechor Eretz Yisrael. Saying, you know, if we wanted to be Hasidish, and I'm happy to be Hasidish in a second, you know, and say ideas like Jews are so much above time and place and space, and you know, like it doesn't matter, and so yes, we sell. It's a fascinating thing that Korban Pesach was celebrated before the event happened, and we made matzah before we left Mitzrayim to commemorate. Now, you can always say, and there's truth to this also, you can always say that God gave us something to do so we would merit the miracle. Right? It's like completely artificial, but God made us do a few things. In fact, we say in the Haggadah, we say, Mitboseses b'damayich v'omalach b'damayich chayi, v'omalach b'damayich chayi, you know, we spill some wine, and Chazal say, it's Dam Pesach and Dam Mila, that God gave us something to do so we would merit. There's a big, big machlokes. It comes up in Tanakh also. Whether we left on our own merits or whether we were pretty bad people.
Well, we were pretty well,
but
yeah.
God, you know, God took us out anyway.
49th level.
Well, we were on the 49th level of Thomas. So.
There are all kinds of, you know, there's enough stuff in here that makes us look good. There's enough stuff in here that makes us look bad. Okay?
We call the Chag HaMatzos even though we don't have to eat them.
We have to eat them at the Seder.
We called it other holiday. It's Chag HaPesach is when we're eating it. That's when we have to. You're saying
no,
we actually go Chag HaMatzot when we don't have to eat it. very interesting.
I know you think that it's witty what you're saying.
No, it's very lawyerish.
You do. He's trying to. Bruce does that thing when he looks away and he like nods, like I got a really good one here. Yeah.
No, it's very lawyerish. Yeah. To say, well, we can't talk about this. Yeah. Okay. It's, but you know what? We don't okay. really.
If it makes you feel any better, yeah.
We do the same with Shavuot. We call it Matan Torateinu in our davening, and they. Torah calls it
Kakasi. That's yeah. Okay, back inside. We're number three. Okay, so first that strange phrasing. We read it on the 14th at night, which is really the 15th. By the way, there's one other place in the Torah that comes to mind off the top of my head that talks like this also. With respect to Yom Kippur, the Torah says, B'tisha lachodesh ba'erev. Right? But Yom Kippur is the 10th. That's where we learn Tosefes, you know, Mosif Min Kodesh Alachol. You're supposed to add extra to it.
So, I learned that from Pesach is where they learned that only from Pesach time we started the day from the night before. Until then, we actually started it in the morning.
So there's a discussion. I always thought that discussion was about Matan Torah. I didn't think that was Pesach, but there is this fancy idea that right, the world worked the way the secular world works, yeah. Which is day then night
until a certain point.
Okay, fine. Now let's go back. Let's go on. Yutes Shivat Yamim Seor Lo Yimatzei Bevateichem. Right, 7 days you can't have any chametz. Ki kal ochel machmetzet, because if you eat chametz, v'nichrita hanefesh ahi me'adat Yisrael bageru v'azrach ba'aretz. Another interesting side point, but it's fascinating, and you see from this pasuk. It's a big discussion whether you can have a mitzvah in the Torah that's a geder or a harchaka for another mitzvah. The Rabbanans are like that all the time, right? The Rabbanans said, you know, add 18 minutes to Shabbos because you might, that's their job. But can you ever have a mitzvah in the Torah? Okay, so the Ran says yes. The Ran says that Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, right, just having chametz, it's an issur d'oraisa, it's a pasuk, but it's only there to protect you from eating chametz. It's a fascinating example of a mitzvah d'oraisa which exists as a geder for another mitzvah d'oraisa.
Like Nazir also. There are certain mitzvot involved with the Nazir, which is their right to prevent you from eating grapes.
Yeah, but I think the general understanding is that those things are usher on their own. Okay, you could be right. It's let's put it this way. It's rare, but here you see it in the pasuk.
Any low taseh connected to an aseh, and do the same analysis.
No.
Any low taseh that's connected to an aseh that has sides to it and say, well,
no, you're saying it's usher to do malacha on Shabbos because
so you can smart them as a Shabbos or something like that.
Okay, I can't disagree, but I okay, and now it finishes. Kol machmetzet lo tochilu b'chol moshvotechem tochlu matzot. Okay, you can't eat any chametz b'chol moshvotechem, and all your dwelling places you have to eat matzot. So here you see, first of all, matzah exists in all these psukim independent. There's no reference here to Karban Pesach at all. Here it's funny, matzah really exists with respect to chametz. Which isn't that unusual, right? That because matzah and chametz really are flip sides of each other. Okay? We'll come back to that in a minute, I hope. Now, that's that. Now let's do one more set of psukim. Again, Perek Yud Bet, bow, number 4. Chav Gimel. Va'avar, now you get to the narrative. Va'avar Hashem lingofed Mitzrayim. When God comes to smite the Egyptians, makas b'choros, and he'll see the blood, you know, on the doorpost and the lintel. Uposach Hashem ala petach. It's a great phrase, even though one's a samach and one's a tough. When I was a kid, I thought they were the same word, right? But they're not. Uposach Hashem ala petach. God will pass over the door. Velo yitain hamashchit lavol batechem lingof, and he will not allow the destroyer to enter your house and kill you. So first of all, we don't have time to talk about it, and I don't even know the answer, but anybody who reads the pasuk carefully has to see the obvious. What happens? Uposach Hashem ala petach. Who passes over? God. V'lo yitain hamashchit. Right? It's, you would have thought the pasuk would read God passed over rather than God entering the house kiviyachol to kill you. But God passes over and he doesn't let the mashchit, who presumably is something, something or someone other than God. It's just it's that pasuk is sitting out there asking for a drasha.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gonna
go on? No, we're gonna go on. Ushmartem chavdal. We have plenty of time. You have a seder. You'll figure it out. Ushmartem. You look at the mafarshim on the pasuk. Yud bet chav gimel. It's in bow. Ushmartem et hadavar hazel lechot lechol vanechal adolam. And you have to do this forever. What do you do? Vayaki tavo el aretz asher yiten Hashem lachem asher diber ushmartem et avodah zot. When you
think from this
one second, let me just finish. When you come into the land of Israel, you have to do this avodah. What avodah is this referring to? Korban Pesach. By the way, we think that they didn't do Korban Pesach in the Midbar. Maybe based on this pasuk, maybe based on other things.
They did.
Huh?
They only did it twice.
That's what I just said. They didn't do Korban Pesach in the Midbar.
But they didn't do it.
They didn't do it in Eretz Yisrael till they were settled.
Yes and no. That's a problem.
They did it when they first went in, but then
that's a problem in history. Yes.
According to this pasuk, it sounds like you're required to do it when you're in the arts. Kisavol el arts.
That's what I said. The diuk is that not in the Midbar.
Right, but El Aris, you might only think it's Toli Ba'aris as opposed to...
Okay, but we already saw B'chol Moshvotechem. It's a nice diuk. I think the correct way and the way we Chazal reads the Pasuk is once you get to the land of Israel, now this thing will be Noheg all over the place. But that's a machlokas. It comes up in a bunch of places. Okay. V'haya chavav ki amu aleichem b'neichem mo avodo azot lchem. And when you ask you why are we doing this, v'amartem zevach pesach hu l'Hashem asher pasach al batei v'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim b'nakpot mitzrayim v'et batei nuitzil v'yikod ha'am v'yishtachavu. You'll tell them, you know, this is what saved us in Mitzrayim. We brought a Korban Pesach, and everybody will know it, and the people listened to Moshe, and that was the end of the speech. What you see, you know, beyond doubt, although we can phrase it in different ways, is that matzah exists in two different categories, right? Matzah exists as an adjunct to Korban Pesach. Matzah exists independently. Now, probably, when a fair reading of the pasuk is that matzah may take on two roles. If matzah
exists,
it's like Ruach HaKodesh. Because I didn't even think of that. It just came out. This is what Gedolim do. They just say things, and afterwards people see greatness in their... Okay. Listen, I have to stop denying it. Can you shut this off now? They're going to ban me from YU Torah. Because, okay. Okay. So they... It could also be that not just independent and dependent on Korban Pesach, but they could play... Matzah could play two different...
Wait, that one.
I need a synonym. I don't want to use role again.
Right. Two different samples.
Two different functions. Excellent. Two different functions in what it reminds us of. So let's say, for example, when you eat maror, how are you supposed to feel? Right, it's clear. It's clear that maror is supposed to remind us of the avdus. And when I say to you, when you eat matzah, when you eat Korban Pesach, God willing, you know, in 11 days, whatever it is, you know, how are we supposed to feel? Great. Nothing could be more, indicative of the geula than Korban Pesach. But what about maror? How are we supposed to feel when we eat maror? We've seen it described as, you know, being part of the geula, but we also know that you'd like to say, "Oh, matzah reminds me of Yitzias Mitzrayim." That's great, but we have to face the fact that we were commanded to eat matzah before there was a Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so we have to try to sort through what matzah means, how we're supposed to feel, and what are the roles that it plays. But first, because I knew this would come up, and you know it's bothering everybody, let's sort out this idea. We've seen psukim that seem to imply, not imply, that state, that matzah is a mitzvah all of Pesach. And I'm telling you over and over again, and the Rambam said in the first halacha, it's only obligatory at Leil HaSeder. So how did we get there? So that requires us looking at a Gemara in Source 5, Gemara Daf Kuf Chaf Amar Aleph in Pesachim. The Gemara says as follows. Tanya kavo se de Rava. We have a Bryce in support of Rava. The pasuk says it's a pasuk in Dvarim Vashan Ekev Re'e, probably. Sheshet yamim tochal matzot uvayom hashivi atzeret l'Hashem Elokecha. You have to eat matzah for 6 days, and the seventh day is atzeret, is a day of stopping for God. Wait, what does that mean? Pesach is 7 days. Pesach is 7 days. Answers the Gemara, Mashvi'i Rishut, Af Sheshet Yamim Rishut. Just like you just saw that the seventh day you don't have to eat matzah, it means for the six previous days you also don't have to eat matzah. Okay?
Is that so obvious?
I'll explain. I'll explain. Now, you have to realize, 6 days, if I asked you what the options were for when you had to eat matzah, the only choices would be Leil HaSeder and all of Pesach. Nobody would have said, oh, let's say the first 6 days you have to eat matzah, the seventh day you don't have to eat matzah. It's a bizarre thing. The Gemara picks up on it. The Gemara says that can't be what it means. So it must mean when it says that the seventh day is not mandatory, the six prior days are not mandatory. How does that work? So here's something that we say every morning, hopefully, but no one ever understands. My time. It's one of the 13 hermeneutic principles by which we darshan the Torah. Have davar shehaya bichlal v'yatza min haklal l'lamem. Okay? Meaning, the seventh day was part of Pesach. Pesach is 7 days long. Now you find the pasuk that says 6 days matzah, seventh day atzeres Hashem Elokecha. So the seventh day was part of a group of 7 days of Pesach, but it got kicked out of that group via the pasuk, because the pasuk says sheish yamim tochal matzot. And here's the rule: v'yatza min haklal l'lameid, to teach us something. Lo l'lameid al atzmo yatza. It didn't come to teach us anything about the seventh day. Rather, Ela l'lameid al haklal kulo yatza. It came to teach us about the entirety of Pesach. Namely, just like you don't have to eat matzah on the seventh day, you don't have to eat matzah on any day of Pesach. Aye, what about Leil HaSeder? How that couldn't possibly be, says the Gemara. Yachol af Laila harishon rishus. If that's true, maybe even at the Seder, it's not mandatory to eat matzah. Talmud lomar al matzot umarim yoflu. So Gemara says no, because you can't have a Karban Pesach without matzah, so therefore matzah must be mandatory. Wait, but we don't have a Karban Pesach bizman hazeh. So maybe bizman hazeh matzah is not mandatory. Says the Gemara this question, ein li'ela bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam. Maybe matzah is only mandatory when there's a beis hamikdash. Bizman she'ein beit hamikdash kayam, there's no beis hamikdash minayin. How do I know that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah? Talmud lomar ba'erev tochlu matzot. That's a standalone pasuk. Ba'erev tochlu matzot. You have to eat it on the 15th at night. Hakatuv kiva'o chova. The Torah established matzah as being mandatory. Okay, that's the limud. That's the very famous limud, and this is in fact. It's so great how you see, once you see like Gemaros, you realize how brilliant the Rambam was. The Rambam, the way he wrote it was like, you know that Gemara, don't worry about it. The Gemara that sounds like it's dependent on Karban Pesach, don't worry about it. But the bottom line is, that's the din. The din is that there's a strange pasuk that says you have to eat matzahs for 6 days, and the limud is, wait, why would you not have to eat matzah on the seventh day? Seventh day is also part of Pesach. Not like Shmini Atzeres, which is really not part of Sukkos. Shmini Atzeres is regel bifnei atma. There's no theory under which the seventh day of Pesach is anything other than Achron Shel Pesach. Okay, it's absolutely part of the holiday. So if you kicked out the seventh day, says the Gemara, based on this principle of darshaning the Torah, it means it didn't come to teach you about the seventh day. Lo l'lameid al atzmo yatsa. Rather, it came to teach you about all the other 6 days. El l'lameid al haklal kulo yatsa. Namely, that you don't have to eat matzah unless you're hungry. Aye, what about Leil HaSeder? No, separate pasuk of Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot. Yes. Okay. I was going to do this later. I'll do it now. Everybody knows there's a gra. It's not clear where it starts from, but almost certainly it's true. I don't know if he said it was a mitzvah, but the Gra thought it was important to eat matzah. And let's assume the Gra thought it was a mitzvah.
For 7 days.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely so. Now, here's, I don't know where I heard this at first. It's really way too smart for me to have thought of. But it's out there somewhere. But it's really like this incredible idea. I don't think the Gra didn't know this Gemara. I think the Gra knew the Gemara. I think the Gra knew that we don't say a bracha of Ashek Hashem Sabbath Alachilas Matzah for 7 days. He knew all that. And yet he thought it was a mitzvah. I think he didn't think it was that mitzvah. We'll take a 5 minute break to share this interesting, but I think it's an interesting idea. What's the definition of matzah? The halachic definition of matzah? Anybody know?
Lechemoni.
That's not a halach definition, that's cool words.
Made less than 18
minutes.
Right. Because why?
It'll rise.
It's aborted chametz. Right? The halachic definition of matzah is something that could have been chametz, but I stopped the process. Right? Essentially, when you strip away all the other stuff, that's the halachic definition. Okay? It would have been chametz, but I stopped it. Now, we often talk about, or maybe we don't talk about it that often, but I think about it. You know, how are you yotze a lo tase in the Torah? How do you yotze a lo tase? For example, you know, how am I yotze the mitzvah of lo tivashel gidi b'chalev imo? So, yes. Yeah. Were you yotze it today?
Like you have to have it in front of you.
And then when? How many times today are you going to be yotze that mitzvah? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, of course I didn't. But goyim and irreligious Jews sometimes, you know, are you yotze the mitzvah of lo tivashel gidi b'chalev imo when you have eggs and cheese? I never thought to put salami in it. Right? There's a question of when are you yotze. I don't want to brag, you know, but I haven't, basically, since I got up this morning, I haven't had relations with any arayos in the Torah. Not one. I know, I'm just sitting here bragging. First I had Ruach HaKodesh, you know. But honestly, I've been tired. You know, so when am I yotze that mitzvah of not doing it? Okay? So you could do it artificially. Nobody thinks you should. You know, you could sit down to lunch with a steak and pour yourself a glass of milk and say, Hinini muchrum zumen lekayim mitzvahs, you know, mitzvahs lo tase, lo tvashel gediba chalev imo, and you put the milk away. And you go,
give the example, but,
right? I didn't want to use the obvious example.
No, because what was the show of deeds? He's not supposed to cook it together.
The limud is the limud. Cut me some slack. Okay? The limud is the limud. So we don't do things like that. It doesn't happen naturally. You know, every once in a while, you have a Yetzer Hara, whatever. But you're not supposed to put I once had to go to like a bachelor party for work. Whatever, it was just the eating part. Like the most beautiful steakhouse in Manhattan. You know, and they were slathering butter on like these gigantic cows. You never saw anything like it. And I remember thinking to myself, this is delicious. I am now being Mekayim the mitzvah of Lo Tivashel Gedi B'Chalimo because I'm not eating it. But we don't normally do that. Here's what I think Pshat is in the Gra. Pshat is in the Gra. And I really think it's true. When you eat matzah, what are you saying? You're saying, I would really like to eat challah. I would really, really like to eat bread. But what am I going to do? The Torah says it's asur. So when the Gra says it's a mitzvah, the mitzvah is not achilas matzah. The mitzvah is not eating chametz. Because the definition, they're flip sides of each other. Why are women mechuyavos in achilas matzah? Isn't it a classic case of a mitzvah saseh shazman grama? The answer is because it's the flip side of the iser chametz. And kol sheyeshnon bebal tochal chametz, yeshnon bekum achol matzah. Because you can't separate those two. Same reason why women are mechuyavos in kiddush. Kol sheyeshnon bishamor, the lo tases of Shabbos, yeshnon bezachar, the ases of Shabbos. So I think when the Gra says, and it's true, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, every time you eat matzah, what you're really saying is, I would love to eat chametz. You know, you don't walk by the bakery and look at the non-kosher stuff. You know, we don't do that normally. But this lends itself to, and I really think that, you know, the more you eat matzah, the more you're saying, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, This is the mitzvah that I'm being mekayim now is I'm not eating chametz. How do I show that I'm not eating chametz? By eating matzah. By saying I would really like to eat matzah right now. I think that that's pshat in the Vilna Gaon.
Sorry, I think there are two things happening. What you're saying is quite correct. But also, matzah is symbolic. Matzah is that company, it's symbolic of what happened in
Vilna. Okay, so that's what I want to get to. That's what I want to get to.
But why do we? What drives the energy to look for something other than what the Pasuk said when it says
the Pasuk is different days, things? Oh, you still don't like it?
Well, but why?
Because it doesn't
what
mean.
What drives to try to
because
something
because
else
six days is meaningless.
Except it says it. I mean, it's meaningless. The Torah says it.
Correct.
6 days. How can we say it's meaningless?
Correct. So Chazal understand what it means. We have a principle.
What drives to say something that's
because you look at
it's ambiguous. Not sure what it
no,
says.
No, it's like, not ambiguous. You look at the Pasuk and you say, how do I give meaning to this pasuk? It can't. The Torah already told me there's a holiday of 7 days. It's told me that in two or three other places in
and
the Torah.
And then it's the seventh day. You don't have to eat matzah. Eat it only 6 days.
Right.
Why wasn't that good enough?
Because it doesn't make any sense. That's why. Because you have a principle. We think we got this principle from Moshe Rabbeinu, which says, "Davar shaya bichlal v'yatzam min haklal l'lamei." Right. Lo l'lamei alatzmo yatzah el l'lamei haklal kula yatzah. If the Torah has already told us in multiple places that the holiday is 7 days,
well,
the rule we have
matzah,
the rule we have requires us to learn something about the other 6 days. That's the rule. Okay? It's not agenda driven. Even you would realize. I know you're always looking for conspiracy
it
theories.
If you show
but
this to 100 people, not one would
no.
come up with this deal here.
Well, unless they
not
read
one.
Unless they read Rabbi Shmuel
well,
every morning.
Well, but if
no.
they didn't know this
but
Gemara.
But okay, good.
I don't know where the Gemara comes
but
from.
If you gave it if you gave the Pasuk to 100 people who read it carefully and thought about it, they would all say the same thing.
As
hey, I thought Pesach was 7 days long.
And I made a mistake because the Torah says it's
but you didn't.
The
oh,
but,
he
the
says one,
but the
six,
Torah already has another pasuk that says Shivas Hamim Tochal Matzot. So you have to do something. If the pasuk so good, you could say, "Oh, it was a mistake."
No, not a mistake.
No, but I'm saying
it's
if you have one,
holiday,
if it's clear, but I'm saying, but if there's another pasuk which I should have put down here, so I wouldn't have to fight with you that says Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot. So now what do you do? Now you have one pasuk says you have to eat matzah for 7 days, and one pasuk says you have to eat matzah for 6 days. You have to do something. And that's what Chazal did. Okay, now, let's go back to the theme. And what we'll see here is that even in the Haggadah, it's absolutely not clear what matzah means and how we're supposed to feel when we eat matzah. Look at source number 6, which we will all recognize. We'll say it without singing it. Right, halach ma'anya, literally, this is the bread of affliction. Di achalu ahavatana, that our forefathers ate, ba'ara de Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt. So it's very simple. Let me ask you this: what's it referring to?
Matzah.
No, it's referring to matzah. This is the matzah that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. When did our forefathers eat this in the land of Egypt? At the Seder.
You're
okay? Great. So then, what?
That they ate, mean it was a one-day event? For the other 210, etc. years, no matzah was eaten? No, that's not true.
That's what I'm asking.
No,
I'm asking. But let's assume, everybody says, right now, one second, right now, the consensus opinion is that this is a reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim, where God told us to make matzah, and we made matzah. The problem is, in that case, the matzah would be zecher lecheirus, we'd be excited to eat it, right? But halach ma'anya means this is the bread of affliction. You wouldn't, huh?
But it seems
good.
Like
so
it seems
I'm trying to play it through.
It seems that they made matzah. Saying a whole lachma annual. This is they made matzah all the time because
right. Why?
The whole
so
they didn't have time.
Right.
To make
so we think of well, there's two ways to look at it. Really, for many many years, I assumed that lechem oni, you know, described like the matzah. Right. Anybody who would eat matzah, it's a poor person's bread. Right. It's a poor it's a poor person's bread.
So
it's
so much
one
money?
Second. It's cheap. It's filling. It's funny. It's cheap. Yeah. You know, it's like in a, if you did an economic study on the markup of religious objects versus their actual cost, between an esrog and matzah, right? Like just staggering what it. I remember a friend of mine once said in America, like it was like particularly cheap, like it was dollar meaning like $75 then, you know, which was like a, you know, relatively cheap. Can you imagine? He said you go to a supermarket and there's a lemon. It's really a nice lemon. It's like $50. You go, huh, what a steal! I'll take two. It's a lemon, you know. Like matzah lechemoni is supposed to be exceptionally cheap, but forget that. But you know, the idea is one of the ideas. Okay, God took this thing for whatever reason and made it a symbol of our exodus, of our joy. Okay, you could say that, but it's problematic because again, the Torah uses lechemoni. So one of the answers you should know. The Ibn Ezra says this. He says it very convincingly. He says, I have to remember, it's either he or a friend of his. He says, when you're in jail, this is what they serve you. They serve you matzah. Because it's exceptionally cheap and it's exceptionally filling. Right? It's filling to the point that by the middle of Chol HaMoed, it's almost impossible to go to the bathroom. Okay? There's, you know, it works. That's my own editorial comment. Ibn Ezra did not go there, but we all know it to be true. Okay? He says when you go places in Medinas Hayam and you travel, this is what poor people eat, this is what they serve. The Ibn Ezra suggests that you should read this literally. Halach ma'ani de'achalu avasanu ba'ar de Mitzrayim means this is the bread of affliction that we used to eat in Mitzrayim. Not on the 14th of Nisan, but time. For 210 years.
Right. Okay.
That's what they served us. Now, that opens up a whole new avenue. Because now you have to say, wait, but God chose, but God chose the matzah to be the symbol of, it's a strange thing.
Freedom
that, right, I would have thought, wait, 210 years. I ate this crap, you know. Now God said, "Make challahs," right? We're going out of Mitzrayim. We're going out of Mitzrayim. Now let's, you know, let's celebrate. It's a very, very strange thing. It's a very strange thing. Now, it's not against the rules for something to remind us of both. So, when I was a kid, the first Haggadah I ever owned, the Lehman family Haggadah. Okay, I went with my father to some farm store in like in Williamsburg, and he got it. And I asked if I could get like this English Haggadah. I got it. Okay, it has a great, great vart that I think explains this: the dual nature of matzah. And we'll come back in a second to why it's even more than that. It tells a story, the following story. Okay, there's a man, and he had his best friend in college, and the friend became exceptionally successful, and you know, our hero of the story made some really bad investments, and it got worse and worse, and he became destitute. And he was now basically just living in rags, and his wife and kids also had nothing. And every day he would go out and try to just come back with something. And one day, he meets his friend from college, who's wildly successful. And he says, "What happened to you?" He explains the whole story. He says, "You know what? I basically need somebody to run my company. You know, come live in my guest house and run my businesses for me. I trust you. You'll be great." Okay? Happy ending. The guy comes, moves into the house with his family, and he starts working for his friend. And every year on the anniversary of the day he met his friend, you know, he puts on the old rags that he wore. Puts on the old rags, and when his kids see him, they're all excited because he gives out presents. Because this is the anniversary of the day of the miracle where, okay? This goes on for a bunch of years. One day, he has a huge blow-up with his friend who accuses him of cooking the books and taking money and whatever, and the guy kicks him out. Kicks him out literally. Now he has nothing because he has no house. Takes away everything he has. His investments are now worthless. Takes away his clothing. Guy puts on his rags. Kids see him coming in rags. They start celebrating. Right? They say, "Oh, this must be the holiday." So he says, "No. It used to be when I put on rags, we were pretending, right? But now we're no longer pretending. Many Haggadahs have halach ma'anya, many have kehalach. This is like the bread of affliction. It could be that matzah is flexible in the role that it plays at the Seder. And that everybody knows that halach ma'anya was introduced to the Seder afterwards in the exile in Bavel. That's why it's in Aramaic. There's a lot of questions to ask on halach ma'anya. It could be that you imagine yourself that the Jew, you know, again, for us, we only know one type of Seder. Let's admit it, we don't really miss Karban Pesach because we've never seen it. We don't really miss the Beis Hamikdash, we've never seen it. But if you got exiled and your whole Seder used to be built around the Karban Pesach and now it's not, you say halach ma'anya, you know, this used to symbolize the lafa that we ate with the Karban Pesach. Now it doesn't. Okay? It can work in multiple areas and it can mean different things. Now, contrast that with the part that we know better. Go to number 7. We ask Rabbi Gamliel Omer, and this is from the Haggadah. Kol shelo omar shloshet dvarim elu b'pesach lo yotze yidei chovato. Anybody didn't say these three things wasn't yotze. What are they? Pesach, matzo, mar. So Pesach is easy. Pesach shehayu avoteinu ochlim b'zman shebeit hamikdash kayim al shuma. We used to eat Karban Pesach, right? Al shum, as we've seen in the Pesukim, she pasach ha-makom al batei avoteinu b'mitzrayim, because God literally passed over us. Great. Go to matzah. Matzah zu shanu ochlim al shuma. Al shum shelo hispik bitzeikam shel avoteinu lahachmitz, because we didn't have time for our dough to become chametz until when? And he took us out immediately. It was all a big accident. What happened? We got rushed out. We didn't have a chance to have the bread rise, so it was matzah. But that's not really true. We just read all the Pesukim. God told us to have a Seder beforehand with matzah. So again, one pshat, and I'm not discounting it, because I think it's nice. One pshat is simply, yeah, God knew what was going to happen in advance, and he wanted it to be the case that this would symbolize the Geula. So just like Karban Pesach happened before the miracle, but it was, I'll shame the miracle, it was about to happen 10 minutes later, matzah also. We God told us to bake matzah because he knew that in the morning the Egyptians were going to chase us out and there wouldn't be time. There's a lot of truth to that, but it's not completely satisfying, because here it sounds like it was an accident. If it wasn't for the fact that we were chased out, we would have had chalos. So it turns out, I saw this in a few places, there are a lot of different explanations. One of them has to do with the difference between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros. So for example, the Pasuk is clear that in Mitzrayim they put blood on the doorposts. Okay? They never did it again. That was a din in Pesach Mitzrayim. When we got to Eretz Yisrael, we didn't put blood on our doorposts. There's no need for it. There's no need for the symbolic nature of that. There are big differences between, right, Pesach Mitzrayim, when was it taken? On the 10th. The 10th of Nisan. That wasn't a din ever. That was a din in Pesach Mitzrayim. Look at this fascinating machlokes in the Tosefta in number 8. That's the Tosefta in Pesachim. The first sheet is as follows. That's the one we always would have assumed. Pesach Mitzrayim noheg kol shiva. Pesach dorot ki yotzei bo. Pesach, the first Pesach of Mitzrayim, was a 7-day holiday. Okay, we had to travel, but it was 7 days. Similarly, you know, after we left Egypt, it's a 7-day holiday. Rabbi Yosa Glili Omer. Omer ani, shelo ne'esa chameit v'mitzrayim ela yom echad. Shenemar lo ye'achel chameit hayom atem yotzim. That's fascinating. He says, it's historical machlokes. It's clear. God told us to bake matzos and not to eat chameit. But says Rabbi Yosa Glili, it was only one day, which means, okay, it's true, we had to be careful to have matzah at the Seder, but we knew we were leaving. He really thinks, is my guess, and other people say this, that they were going to bake bread for the journey. They were going out to the Midbar. Why would they want to keep eating slave food? They would eat. They were going to bake bread. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen exactly as the Torah describes, because they were rushed out of Egypt. So what this allows us to do is to say both things are true. Yes, God told us, for whatever reason, to bake matzah and to have matzah at the Seder. That's true. But if there was going to be a holiday for 7 days in which chametz was going to be usur for 7 days, we had to bake matzah for the road for 7 days. So the answer is no. We were going to be allowed to eat chametz. Matzah was only the requirement either at Leila Seder or for the first day. But beyond that, we were going to be able to take regular bread with us. Why didn't we take regular bread? Because they simply didn't have time. It allows us to say both things are true. But more importantly, and this is the last point I want to make, but this is the point I really think is true. The theme of the Seder, is Bechol Dovar Dor Chayvam Liro Sasatzmo Kiilu Hu Yatza Mimitzrayim, right? We're supposed to undergo a transformation. It strikes me as at least possible, although I really think it's true, that we undergo a transformation that's reflected in how we relate to matzah. So at the very beginning of the Seder, like you go, okay, when did we get free in the Seder? It's hard to know exactly, right? But Halach Ma'anya comes before Magid, before anything. It's the very first thing that we do, pretty much. Before we do it, Halach Ma'anya Di'achalu Avatanu Ba'ardi Mitzrayim. Right now, we're slaves in Egypt, and when we look at matzah, we see it as slave food, and maybe it reminds us of the pain of being slaves. By the time we get to Kol, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Kol Shalom Ashlosh Advarim Elu Pesach Lo Yatzei Dei Chovatan, we're at the end of Magid already. We've left Egypt, and I think the same matzah that at the beginning of the Seder reminded us of bondage, 2 hours later, an hour later, however long it takes you to get through it, now I feel free. And when I look at the matzah, like in the story, it doesn't remind me of bad things, it reminds me of great things. It makes me think of how lucky I was that God took me out of Egypt. I think the search for symbolism in the Seder is meaningful and powerful. And I think on the one hand, you have Karban Pesach, clearly a sign of redemption. And it's even more obviously so because we lost it now that we're not redeemed. I don't say we're not redeemed, but we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so we're missing that part. But clearly that's what it symbolizes. Maror, there's nothing to do with Maror other than realize it's the bitterness of the slavery, it's Avdus. But Matzah is the thing that's more, I say, relational, more subjective. Depending on where I am in my own personal history, in my own life, in the Seder, sometimes matzah reminds me of how miserable life is, and sometimes matzah reminds me of how great life is. And I really think we're supposed to undergo a transformation in the Seder, where at the beginning of the Seder, matzah really is lechem oni, and by the end of Magid, matzah really does remind me how I rushed out of Egypt, and it was such a joyous occasion, and therefore I eat matzah. More than that, it's hard to say. I think when you look at the Pesukim again, there are multiple themes going on here within matzah. The question of when we were commanded to eat matzah, how God commands us before it happens. The question of did we spend 210 years eating matzah. In the end, I think the answer to every question is yes. It means this, and it means that, and it depends on how I feel, and it depends on how my role is. And maybe it goes back to that Rambam. The Rambam felt the need to tell us, don't worry that there's no Karban Pesach. Don't worry that you live in Egypt. Imagine what the Seder was like in Egypt. Okay? The Rambam used to sign his letters by saying, Moshe ben Maimon, ha'over begimel lavim b'chol yom. Okay? We could argue about what the lavim are, but probably one of them is going back and living in Egypt. Okay? But he wanted us to know that matzah exists independently, and no matter how bad things are, matzah exists independently, and matzah still symbolizes the redemption. Right.
Practically speaking, if you're taking this fuel to get out of Egypt onward Israel, the bread only lasts so long. The matzah will last the entire trip. So practically speaking, matzah is a much better food for the travel.
Okay.
I'll see you next week, though.